Welcome back to the A Suite Podcast. We are UCLA Anderson MBA students bringing you the best insights on industry deep dives, the MBA experience in general, and so much more. Today, we have a wonderful conversation between two of our powerhouse peers at UCLA Anderson. Our host today is Shruti Pandey, who has a background in tech and consulting and an absolute passion for people. And our legendary guest for this episode is one of our second year peers, Matt Chambers, who made the pivot from a career in CPG brand management at P&G and General Mills to consulting with McKinsey. Now, if you're considering pivoting into consulting or just enjoy great conversations, I have no doubt that you'll find Matt's experience and advice highly valuable. Let's get right into it.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. It's very exciting to be on the podcast. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for accepting our invitation. Here we are, first years, quite overwhelmed with the fall quarter. So you tell us, how does it feel to be in the second year of MBA right now?
You know, it's a little bit easier, a little bit more stress-free versus being a first year. I can tell you, we still remember what it's like to be first years, and it's exciting to be able to assist you on your journeys from our end.
Okay, so there is some sunshine at the end of this long tunnel for us. Glad to know. So Matt, can you tell us where are you originally from and how was it growing up there?
Absolutely. So I grew up in Minneapolis. My family's originally from England and we traveled a little bit when I was much younger. I call Minneapolis my home because I spent the majority of my elementary school time through to high school living on the east side of the Twin Cities. While I loved the Midwest, I wanted to explore a little bit outside of the Midwest for undergraduate. So I ended up attending Duke University and studying economics there.
So your life eventually took you to Duke University, North Carolina. How was that experience?
It was, I think, my first experience with a variety of different cultures and schools of thought all in one area. Previously living in the Midwest, it's fairly insular community. The cultures are limited in terms of their scope as well as the differing opinions. Whereas at Duke, I was surrounded by bright minds from all over the world, which very much opened my eyes to the possibilities outside of my own cultural background, my own beliefs, my own ways of critical thought. And that exposure was something that I continued want to pursue, at least in my career going forward, my time after Duke, and then many years after. So it was a good exposure, really taught me a lot more about different perspectives in a variety of ways.
So did you ever think of consulting as an option in your undergrad?
I did, actually. However, the process seemed really intimidating, and the resources were far more limited in terms of the resources that are available at Anderson. So I felt like I was not supported on that journey and consequently felt that it was out of reach for me as an undergraduate student. That's why I think particularly I was reinvigorated by the idea of transitioning away from brand management and trying my hand at consulting recruiting again at business school.
So I'm talking to a person who has consulting in his heart. That's great. But you went on to two of the most coveted CPG firms, P&G and then General Mills. And we all know a good number of cases are from this industry. How did your experience there help you in bringing that knowledge to casing?
Absolutely. So I think there are a few different things that I've gleaned from my time at Procter & Gamble and General Mills that I use in my casing as well as my experience, hopefully in consulting after graduation. So the first is that as a brand manager, you always remain very consumer focused. The end user, the end consumer is a part of every decision that you make. And consequently, when you think through plans or projects at Anderson and then in consulting through cases, you're constantly thinking about that end user and that end consumer. What will my actions how will my actions impact that end user? How will they affect consumers? And so I think that consumer first mentality is that first reason, the first tool that I carry with me today. The second is a broad understanding of the functional aspects of a business. So as a brand manager, you're very much the hub at the center of a wheel with many spokes. So you have an opportunity to see the P&Ls of the businesses you work on. You can work alongside ops managers that spend time in the factories. You think through the packaging, the marketing, and the customer relationship management aspect of each business that you're on. As a result, you walk out of CPG with an experience, at least you walk out of brand management with a variety of experiences that span many different functions. So I had a broad understanding, at least from a surface level, of the different functions you may encounter during a case study. I think third, you have a distinct understanding and practice with taking data points, extrapolating insights from those data points, and then creating targeted action based on those insights. So for when you're considering casing largely comes down to recognizing patterns, understanding what to do with those patterns, and then taking those patterns and turning them into action. And that's a lot of what you do as a brand manager, in the form of recognizing market trends and then creating opportunities to capture those market insights, those market opportunities.
If you know you got a case from an industry which was not CPG, how did you acquaint yourself with business elements of other industries besides casing prep?
A lot of what casing revolves around is taking little pieces of understanding that you've gleaned from articles you've read, reports you've seen, and extrapolating the information from those articles and reports to create a base level understanding for the case itself. And so what I thought about was at least getting myself in front of industry news as regularly as I could, because for those industries that I knew very little about, I knew that even a base level understanding of what was happening in terms of the current events within that industry would make me that much more effective as a case clearer or a caser. I would also like to add to that there, even no matter how much research you do or industry preparation, you're always going to find a case within an industry that you know very little about. And as a result, it's much more about the framework you apply and developing a framework for tackling a problem you've never seen before than it is using industry-specific knowledge. And so what I mean by that is being able to identify that your first step is going to be analyze the data points you've been given. Second, recognize what you're missing. Third, apply a general strategy for problem solving. And then fourth, identify the key prioritized insights that you've discovered by applying that problem solving structure. So, you know, don't fret if you feel like you're in front of a caser and that gives you a case in an industry you've never experienced or studied. It's more about the process by which you think through that case than it is knowing facts about that industry itself.
So tell me one thing, did you also draw analogies from CPG into other industries and assumed that if things happened in this way in CPG, it is fine for me to use the same thing besides using a framework?
I think there is a level of confidence that case interviewers would like to see you demonstrate that doesn't cross over into cockiness or hubris. What I mean by that is I'd like to think that I had a well-rounded experience with a variety of different functions that impact a business within CPG, but I know that industries will prioritize and view those functions very differently than that function that exists in CPG or that its sister function. And what I mean by that is when approaching a case and understanding the base level of a function like finance, I can specify that I'm applying my experience in this new industry before I share the insights which I think could be relevant from that CPG experience. And how that really looks is saying, look, I'm not very familiar with this industry or like or my past experience, I don't think maps very well into utilities, as I sold snack bars, not worked on a power plant. But I think finance can still be applied, or the function of finance could still be applied in this way or X way. So it's making sure that you identify the caveat to the insights that you generate based on your prior experience.
Take us through the journey of how you decided to go come to Anderson, prepared for it, and how you finally said yes to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they said yes to me. So, you know, I'd like to think that I was the one to make the decision, but I'm still very grateful for the opportunity to attend the school. Yeah, I can talk through my process a little bit. I approached business school with a few different objectives I had for myself, as well as a few things that I was looking for in a business school. Within the objectives, I wanted to step change my career. I wanted to develop a professional network of diverse people. And then I also wanted to round out my business toolkit so that I was a smoother operator when it came to strategic thought. Outside of those three things that I was looking for, I wanted to find a business school experience that focused heavily on collaboration, that was very self-motivated, and I think really lived in a culture that celebrated success as a group rather than an individual success or individual progress. Consequently, I really identified with Anderson, both as a community and the opportunities that it would provide. It mirrored a core value that General Mills shared with it, winning as a team. Anderson's shared success model is very similar to the winning as a team model that I so loved in General Mills. So I was immediately attracted to the values. The culture that I met at Anderson, at least through the individuals that I spoke to before I applied, as well as the visits that I took to campus, solidified my belief in the shared success model and the opportunity to collaborate with classmates. And then it would be impossible to talk about my decision to come to Anderson without mentioning Parker. Shout out Chris Weber. You've been a huge help. But Parker is a differential tool at placing individuals into their ideal career situations. I think that the resources that they provide, the resources that are offered, really step change or allow students to step change their own career paths. And I know Chris has been instrumental in that personal process. So I think I was looking for a variety of different objective things to glean in business school, but the culture really reeled me in. And after acting as an interviewer this year for prospective applicants, it's clear how different Anderson really is compared to its competitive business school programs, and how that emphasis on shared success manifests itself in a really productive way.
So when you realized that, you know, okay, maybe consulting is coming out to be the viable option for you, what were your checks and balances in taking this decision?
I think that I have a few personal values and a few, just like business school, I view the career path you choose as representative of the personal values that I have, as well as the professional objectives I'm looking for at least in my career path at this point in time. I told myself that I wanted three different things out of a career. I wanted an opportunity to speak for consumers and directly impact to everyday individual. I wanted to work on tight-knit teams in a way that would allow me to bring my whole self to work. And then lastly, I wanted to be able to work for a company that thought more holistically about the world in which we live. So from a triple bottom line perspective versus a singular driver of profit. Beyond those three different things that I was looking for, I also wanted to balance my personal values with an experience that I would seek in consulting. So I never wanted to be, or I wanted to bring my interest in shared success forward with me, and for my the business that I would work for, the opportunity that I would work for, allow me to continue pursuing that interest and that belief. I'd also want to work at a place that celebrated success as well as supported individuals as in more of an apprenticeship model. And then lastly, I wanted to work in a place that that was free from hierarchy. And so that one's a little bit tough, but I think that at least within consulting, those were the things that I set out to look for. And within consulting, there are many different opportunities that fulfilled a lot of those qualities, but I was really lucky with McKinsey in the way that they are able to satisfy a lot of those things that I'd set out to look for.
Absolutely. And as I come from the background of consulting from Accenture, I totally understand where you're coming from and where you're going. So great for you. What did you unlearn for consulting?
In terms of a personality trait, I think if there was something I could tell my former self with regards to an area for improvement or something not to worry about, is that success in the process, whether it be at a specific firm or with an event or a first round interview invite, success in the process is not emblematic of your personal value. And so that firms, for a variety of reasons, may select one person over another. They may invite one person to an event over another. But it's distinguishing the difference between those mini wins or those mini professional successes from your personal value. And I know that at least when I came from brand management, a lot of what you have to do is think about that person and consider the tie of that action to that person. So I would more often than not tie those moments in my recruiting lifetime to my individual value. And that can get you in a place where you stop focusing on where you can grow and the positives and start focusing on the areas where you may be missing a skill or an opportunity to present yourself. And I think at times those things aren't related. I think sometimes not getting an invite has a lot more to do with a factor outside of your control than a factor inside your control. And so it's important to remember that focusing on those things leads you down an unproductive path.
Very well said, Matt. I think that's something we all need to hear as first years are going into their recruiting season. And in other words, your career is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So it doesn't matter what was your first 400 meter sprint, right? So thank you for that. So let's shift gears to the achievement that everybody talks about of yours on campus, which is your collaboration with Mark Constantino. So tell us how you actually made it happen.
Yeah, so it's much less, obviously I'll give him 100% of the credit goes to his experience writing Case in Point, obviously. It's much less collaboration. I think much more him seeing an opportunity to include some of the learnings that I'd found over the course of my recruiting lifetime or process into his findings. Throughout recruiting, I really took Chris Weber's words to heart in terms of this is a growth process and you need a growth mindset to do well in this process. And as a result, outside of maybe the slip-ups I had or the failures that I had through casing or behavioral prep, I also celebrated the wins. So places that I did well or cases that I performed well on, I made sure to document a lot of the things that I found success doing, whether it be a certain thing that I mentioned or a way that I framed an answer to a question. And I documented all of those things in a central location. So before every case, I would read what I called a case primer. So all of the facts I ever included in my case, all of the questions I asked myself, all of the ways I framed risks, synergies, conclusions, and I documented them all in a centralized location so that before reading a case, I could take a look at all of those lists and remind myself that there were a lot of highlights and a lot of tips that I've collected along the way, along the process. And so growth mindset to me lived in my mind as find the opportunity or in the value in everything that you're doing and make sure you remember that value. Because there's going to be a lot of times during this process where something goes well, but it's quickly forgotten because you didn't take a moment to write it down. So by the time we had an opportunity to do one-on-one cases with Mark Cosentino, who I was very afraid of, knowing that he's kind of the godfather of Case in Point, I was quick to show him the work that I had done to document those facts and tips and pointers and lessons learned in a binder that I created for myself, and ask him what he thought of something like that as a way to prep for casing. I think that, you know, it's not a novel way to look at a look at the process. It's not a novel thing to document all your thoughts. I'm not reinventing the wheel, nor am I are discovering something, you know, earth shaking. It's much more that I've really focused on the opportunity to glean value from everything that I was doing in a way that as a book writer was easy to see all of those data points as being valuable as a primer within the book. And so I think Mark took a look at the primer and realized that he could include somewhat of a list or a reference sheet partway through his book, and he lifted it. I sent him that reference sheet. He took a few pictures of the work in person, and probably around 2 to 3 weeks later, he messaged me saying that he wanted to include it in the book, and I quite frankly was shocked. I didn't really believe him at first. He said he would acknowledge me, but I imagined it was going to be like a post-it note or something in the cover of the book. And then partway through my summer, I received an email from Mark saying that a book was on its way. It arrived in the mailbox. I opened the book and realized he'd written my name in the acknowledgments. So yeah, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it myself. It's been funny to see people reach out from my past, even from Duke in my high school, saying that, or even Snapchatting me, asking me if that's my name in the book. And I think it's more to the point of, do something that can help you extract value from everything that you learn during this process and find a way to reference it easily, because that's how you can get ahead when it comes to the case time. If you can find a way to collect all of your thoughts and all your learnings and all of the realizations you've had over this time in a place that you can easily reference right before you get into the interview timing, you're going to be a much more impactful caser. And while I'm excited I'm in a book, there's going to be a 12th edition, a 13th edition, and that acknowledgement is going to disappear. So I was much more excited by the fact that I'd found a way to find growth in the casing process. And I encourage you to find your way. And, you know, maybe Mike Cosentino will include you in his book.
Yeah, I think journaling is the key. Like, we need to follow up with ourselves. If you had to do it again, what will you advise your younger self today?
I really think that zooming out and putting yourself in the shoes of the interviewers, putting yourself in the shoes of the second years, putting yourself in the shoes of the recruiters and the associates and the partners, and understanding a way to tap into that empathy for what it looks like from the other side of the process, you'll remember that they see 10 to 15 interviews within a span of 4 hours, 5 hours. And as a result, you'll think much more clearly about differentiating yourself and much less clearly about executing on the things that everyone else is going to execute against. So I would go back and sit down with my first year self and say, think more about the people who you're sitting across from, the people who you're on the phone with, the people reading your applications, and put yourself in their positions and understand the process from their end of the recruiting cycle, and you'll be much better for it. And as well as, I think you'll be a little more relaxed and a little bit more focused on what's important.
So we are nearing towards the end of our discussion here, and I just want to know, what's one book that you highly recommend? And that cannot be Case in Point.
Yeah, well, one book I would actually recommend is a guilty pleasure book. Honestly, the book that I recommend is A Murder Mystery by John Grisham. It's not a specific book. I always found time to try and read a few pages of a murder mystery John Grisham book, and that was my little slice of heaven, at least within the process. And a favorite book isn't, this is maybe the least wise thing that I say, but a favorite book is more so the idea of find something to balance you through a really stressful process. And so if you're curious, I can, you know, I can recommend more specific group books, but you're going to have to reach out to me for that.
Thank you so much, Matt. It was wonderful talking to you. And this is, I think, a great opportunity to, you know, tell your story to our wide audience there. Thank you so much and all the best for your future endeavors.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I could be on.
Well, there you have it. Listening to Matt really pumped me up, and I hope you got pumped up too. As a first year myself, it can be really hard to take the long view when recruiting. So I really appreciate Matt's reminder that small setbacks don't reflect our value. And it's important to take breaks and recharge with something you love, whether that be making your own podcast, watching some Netflix, or reading a fun book. Big shout out to our guest Matt Chambers for coming on and sharing his knowledge with us. Really, really appreciate it. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode or if something resonated with you, tell us about it. Send us an email at theasweepodcast@gmail.com. Or better yet, leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. And tell your friends all about the A-Suite. Lastly, big shout out to our amazing host Shruti, our executive audio director Alyssa, and our executive producer Jody. Thank you all so much for listening today, and we'll see you next time here on the A-Suite Podcast. Signing off.